Brothers and sisters, it's appropriate that you be here today, and it's appropriate that as we have this family prayer, that you come and unite in a close-knit family group. There's nothing that requires that you stay there. I think it's fine if you gather right up here close around the casket and share in the strength of each other. It's my inclination to speak to the young people, and so I'll say it this way. Your Uncle Eugene will offer the family prayer at this time.
Our dearly beloved Father in heaven, we gather this day to honor one of thy great and noble servants. For truly, to us his sons and his family, he is one of the great and noble ones. And we know what it means to have good, goodly parents here upon this earth. We know that Howard Hall was ready to meet thee, that he taught his children and his grandchildren both by example and by precept. He was called out of the world to be one of thy servants, to stand as the patriarch in this dispensation to his family, and placed himself in a position to become the savior of his father's house. We pray thee at this time, Father, that he is full of joy, that he has been reunited with loved ones, that he looks back upon his posterity with joy. We pray thee at this time that each one of us might strive with all his heart and might to follow the example of a good father and a good mother, that not one of us might be lost unto thee. We commit this service into thy hands, as it will be conducted by thy servants. We do it humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, on behalf of the Hall family, I welcome you here today to this service in honor of Howard Hall, a servant of our Father in Heaven. It's my privilege to officiate as his bishop. And I would like to take this opportunity to express my respect and love for that dear gentleman. The lovely music that we have heard has been played by Sister Marilyn Perry, a member of the Edgemont Fifth Ward, where Brother Howard lived for some time. The family prayer was offered by Eugene Hall, a son of Howard. I'm Ray Baird. Our opening prayer for our service today will be offered by Nephi Kazarian, a close associate of Howard's in the High Priest Quorum in our ward. There will follow a biography given by Donald Hall, a son. This will be followed by a musical selection, In My Father's House Are Many Mansions. This will be sung by Jean Hall, a granddaughter, and she will be accompanied by Charlotte Hall. Bishop Charles L. Metten will then speak to us. Bishop Metten was Howard's bishop when he lived in the Edgemont area. He will be followed by a musical selection played by Sister Perry, a selection of church hymns. If you knew Howard Hall well, you knew that he loved the church hymns. And this is in keeping with his desires. President Elwood Peterson will be the final speaker. He was Howard's bishop for some years and a close friend. The closing prayer will be given by Loftus Sheffield, a close friend of Howard's. The interment will be in the Altar Rest Cemetery in Ogden. May I mention now that this will take place about 2:30 this afternoon for you who desire to be there. This is located at 36th Street and Quincy in the southeast part of town. The dedicatory prayer at the cemetery will be offered by Tracy Hall, a son of Howard. The service will then proceed as outlined.
Dear Father in Heaven, we who stay behind in this earth come in the appropriate attitude of mourning, as we have lost the association of Brother Howard Hall. If we were permitted to be his judges, we would certify to thee that we would desire to come where we know that he surely is and will go. We have seen him in an exemplary light of the mellowness of age, with wisdom, with the great blessing of leaving this earth almost at the moment of his own choosing, and with the testimony and joy, as he had expressed, of the privilege of leaving this life for a better. We are not his judges. We are grateful to follow in his path and to follow his example. We know from the Spirit that he was a man of exalted capability and righteousness as we knew him, as we feel that he is and will be. Wilt thou bless us at this occasion of reflection, to see where we stand, to have the privilege of holding to the iron rod as firmly as did he, and following his footsteps, that we, like he, can be heirs of the kingdom, and even joined heirs with our elder brother, in whose name we pray, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
It has been said that a man hasn't lived a complete life until he has passed through three stages. The first one, that of childhood and growing years of youth, and then having the role of a parent, and then finally the role of a grandparent in this life. And we know that my father, Howard Hall, has certainly enjoyed all of these three great phases of life. And I would like to share with you a few glimpses from each of these phases. I am grateful that I was chosen to do this. I know that any one of my brothers could have done so. And each of you have shared with us glimpses that you have had of our father. And we appreciate your comments. Dad was born in 1887 in Iowa, and when he was just 5 years old, his family moved west. They came to Pocatello, Idaho first. My dad's father was in the transfer and storage business, and in those days it was done with wagon teams, and that's how they came west. And they arrived in Ogden when my dad was about 5 years old, and his father continued in that business here in Ogden, eventually graduating to trucks when the automobile was invented and came along. But they settled in Ogden at a very historic spot, not far from where Miles Goodyear had his cabin, at approximately 29th Street in the Weber River in Ogden, if you know where that area is. And Miles Goodyear's property was purchased by Captain James Brown of the Mormon Battalion, and that's where the first settlement was, up there in Ogden in the Weber Valley. And that's the area that my father's family settled in. And as a boy, Dad played in the Weber River, and I'm sure it was a beautiful place to play. It's changed a little bit now, but we still see glimpses of what it was like when he was there as a boy. But he had his summertime fun of swimming and fishing, and in the winter times he skated on the river and played ice hockey and the other games that boys play. And he began working quite early because he was herding cows for neighbors. And that's the time still when families still had a few cows, and so he was busy doing those things. And the home they lived in was on Pacific Avenue, right alongside the Pacific Railroad track. That's how it's got its name. And the family lived only a short distance from the depot, so Dad only went to school 6 years. In those days, you didn't have to go very long. And he was running errands quite young for the railroad people, and by the time he was 14, he was employed full-time and worked for the next 10 years on the railroad out of Ogden and oftentimes up into Idaho and Montana. And after about 10 years, he finally came back home because most of the work took him away too much. And so then he went to work with his father in the transfer and storage business for about another 10 years. And during this time, he didn't have much purpose and direction in life, it seemed. His family weren't members of the church.
His mother was a good, staunch, religious woman. His father wasn't really too religious or active in church. But my father didn't attend or wasn't very active and was kind of lost till he went shopping at a neighborhood grocery store and became acquainted with a lady who handled the cash register and rang up the sales. And he looked and he decided that might be the person that he would like to marry and that might be someone who would give him some purpose and direction in life. And sure enough, it happened that way. But this good woman wouldn't marry him until he had learned the gospel and was convinced of its truth. And so our mother did convert Dad, and he was baptized, and she knew that his baptism was good and that he did have a testimony of the gospel, and so they were married. And as they started out married life, they rented for a time, and they saw the advantages of owning their own home, and they did something that maybe some of us wish we could do in these days, but I'm sure we'd be frowned upon and local ordinances would prohibit. But they put up a tent on a lot that they bought, and they lived in a tent until they could build their home. This was back in 1919, and we could do such things. But that's how they got started. And after a few years of living there, after we were born, they started thinking and looking around and decided that the best place to raise children would be in a farm situation. They didn't think too much of the city, mother having been raised on a farm herself. And so they looked around and they found a nice little farm in the settlement of Marriott, just west of Ogden. And so they sold their first home that they had built and settled on this farm where we spent a few years, but probably the best years of our life. Unfortunately, they had purchased that farm in rather prosperous times and had made certain commitments, and then suddenly came the crash of 1929 that most of the older folks remember. And Dad lost his job. He worked also at a creamery in town while he operated the farm. And the farm wasn't enough to sustain by itself, and the payments couldn't be made, and they did everything they could to hang on, but it wasn't long until everything was lost, and they had to dispose of the farm for practically nothing, having lost everything that they had put into it. And so in the midst of a terrible depression, after 15 years of struggle in married life, they had to start all over again. And of course it was sad to leave that place that we had loved so much. But I'll remember one thing about it. With the teachings of our parents, they had no fear. They were always of the same mind and opinion, that they would carry on as they had always done. They would pay their tithes and offerings, and they would be faithful in the church. And they knew that if they did that, that everything would be all right. And we knew that also. And it's a good feeling to have, that you know that if you do your duty, that the Lord, watching over and with everyone working and doing his best and doing what he should do, that things will work out. And of course they did. We had to move back to town. And it was hard and it was a big struggle. And many of you know how difficult those times were. But we managed. And Dad was without work for a lot of times. And we remember the long hours that he waited in line and that he job hunted and went here and there, working at odd jobs as he could, and Mother had to go to work, and we managed. But those were good times. I remember one of the first things we did when we went to town was Mother and Dad figured out a nice little job for my brother Wendell and I. They found out that to have milk delivered cost about 8 cents a quart in those days. But if we went to the dairy to pick it up ourselves, we could get it for 7 cents. So there was a chance to save a penny. And in those days, a penny was a lot of money. So every other day, Wendell and I took turns. I would go one day with the 2-quart milk pail to pick up the milk, and the penny we earned, Mother gave to each of us. And it was about a mile away, and so we walked a mile there and a mile back to save 2 pennies, which could be given to us as spending money. And we appreciated all the little things that they found for us to do, things that were good for us. And we went out into the fields to work with them. That was a job that we could always have, picking fruit and working in the fields. And we all went with them. And we struggled through those days, and I have many glimpses that I would like to tell, but I know there isn't time. But I remember one thing especially. When my brother Tracy was graduating from high school, and you know, that's a great occasion, and we like things to be the best for great days like that, and he didn't have the best of clothes to wear, and my brother Gene decided that Tracy ought to have a nice suit and that he ought to look good for this occasion, and he had a little bit of money saved up, and he went down to the Broom Hotel where Mother worked in town at cleaning rooms. And he found her in one of the rooms cleaning, and he talked to her and offered this money that he had saved and asked if she couldn't add a little bit more to help buy him a suit. And as they talked of this situation, Mrs. Brown, the manager, was out in the hall and heard what was going on. And when she heard this brother offering his hoarded savings to help out this way, she barged right into the room, and she says, "I will give the rest of the money, and I'll do anything I can to help that boy have a suit to graduate with." Well, we have a lot of good glimpses of those times, and the role of being a parent isn't an easy one, as most of us know, but we struggled through, and eventually Dad got permanent employment, and we started to do better. And now, of course, we grew up and had children of our own, and our parents started to enjoy that third and great role in life of being grandparents. And you know, my dad knew every one of them, and if you asked, he could recite the name and birth date of all of his 31 grandchildren and of his great-grandchildren also. He had a good memory. And he enjoyed the visits he had. And, of course, we enjoyed them coming because we know what grandparents mean to children growing up, because they do so much to reinforce the teachings of the parents. They always bear their testimonies and let them know that the gospel is true, and they always encourage them to go along in the things that are right. In closing, I'd like to mention one final experience. I mentioned that my father's parents weren't church members, and when Dad joined the church, they were extremely disappointed, and his mother felt very bad, as any mother would, because she felt that he had done something wrong. But my father got most of his static and problems from his mother's relatives, who felt it was a terrible thing that Dad had done. He had dishonored the whole family by joining the Mormon church, and they let him know about it. And as children, we kind of got feelings, not understanding all of these things, but we kind of felt that Dad wasn't quite accepted by these people, and of course, as we grew older, we knew why. And so many of the relatives claimed that Dad had dishonored his family, and they often recited the commandment, "Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother." Well, as my dad grew up and the children were born, his own mother could get a glimpse of what was happening. None of the other children joined the church. Dad was the only one of his family, and his parents could see the difference, and they knew what was happening with Dad and his children, and their eyes began to be opened a little bit, and they appreciated him more and more. And one of the last things that Dad's mother said to him before she passed away was that you have honored us more than any of our children. And we know that that is so, because of the rest of the family, there are hardly any descendants. But on Father's side, there is a great family tree and many progenitors who we pray will also go on to honor their parents, to appreciate the heritage that they have. We are so grateful for the gospel and all that it means to us, and I pray that we may all honor it and do the things that our Heavenly Father would want us to do, and I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'm not sure I announced this number correctly. Sister Perry will accompany Jean Hall.
Love. to the members of the Hall family and to the relations and friends of Brother Howard Hall, and especially to my dear brothers and sisters of the Edgemont Fifth Ward. It's a real honor for me to be asked to share a few expressions of mine about Brother Howard. And as I stand here, I can't help but remember years ago, it seems that time does go by so fast, of being in this room when other dear brothers and sisters have passed on. And we as a ward family, or as brothers and sisters in the gospel, all get together and mourn, yes, but we also rejoice. And I want you to know how grateful I am this morning to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and to be able to hear what a son recalled and taught us about his father. It certainly is true when we read in the scriptures to teach one another. It seems to me that that is one of the great purposes of our lives, is to teach one another. And as long as I knew Brother Howard Hall, that's just what he did for me. I was a brand new bishop in a brand new ward when this good brother came to live with Wendell and his family. And I guess Howard, with the instinct of a convert himself, saw a very frightened convert who was trying very hard to be a bishop and to be a good one. And one of the first things I remember about Brother Howard is him coming up to me and always smiling. And it hadn't been too long since he had lost his wife. And he came up to me and he said, "Bishop, I want you to know who I am, and I want to offer my support." And then he shook my hand and then he gave me his tithing. And I never forgot that. And every Sunday when he would come to Sunday school and to priesthood and then to sacrament meeting, he would always go out of his way to see that I saw him smiling and to shake my hand. And so when I felt I had the weight of the world and all the problems of my ward on my shoulders, I could still smile and feel good because I had seen Brother Howard that day. And then I remember that first tithing settlement. I don't think he always gave me his tithing, and in the later years he would mail it to me, and sometimes it'd be a marvelous little note. We all remember him for his little notes of encouragement and patriotism and testimony. But this first tithing settlement, there he came, and he had signed up on the door, and he was waiting out in our hall there. And he waited, and then his time came to come in. And we sat down, and we talked about tithing. We talked about the ward, and one of the first things he said, now he said, "Bishop, am I doing my share? How can I improve, and what can I do to make the ward a better place?" And then we got to talking about Howard. And the first time I ever saw him shed a tear, well, there was twice, as I recall. And the first time was at this tithing settlement, which was around the Christmas holidays after, as I recall. And he said, "Bishop," he said, "I try not to be lonely," he said, "but I surely miss my dear wife." And that just touched me. And I walked around the table and I put my arm around your father. And I said, I can't really feel what it would be like to lose your wife. But I want you to know, Brother Hall, that you are a great example for us in our ward." And then he left, and the next time that I saw him bear a tear was one Sunday after sacrament meeting, he was offering the closing prayer. And you remember how he could pray with such fervency. I always like to call and ask Brother Harper, if Brother Harper was conducting, or Bishop Roundy, if they would call on Brother Hall to close the meeting, if it had been a special spiritual meeting. But I felt he would just pray to our Heavenly Father, and he always did. And in this one sacrament service, he stood up and he prayed as I've never heard a man pray. And he ended, "In the name of Jesus Christ, Hosanna to his name," he said. Do you remember how he used to say Hosanna to his name? Well, a shock of something went through me that I had never felt before. As he said Hosanna to his name, with such a force and a spirit in his voice. And then as I looked up after the prayer and he turned to walk down, there were big tears rolling down his eyes because he had felt the Spirit just as he was saying that prayer and closing our wards. Yeah. And then I learned, he taught me, I can remember I used to come home for lunch at noontime. And during this time of year, when it starts to get a chill in the air, and I'd be driving by the old, by the Page School, and I guess it was before the stadium. Well, the stadium, I guess, was just being built. You kind of forget. But there he would be walking to get home up the Indian Hills to Wendell's house, where he was living at the time. And I'd pull over and I'd say, "Come on in. Now, I know you don't want to ride because you want to walk, but I just want to enjoy your companionship." And he'd hop in the car and I'd drive him up home. And we'd have a chance to talk and just to share experiences. But it was so good for me to feel his strength and to feel his testimony. And then I think one last remembrance was when the little Hall daughter passed away. And Grandpa was there. And then I saw young John, who's on his mission now. And I looked at John and I tried to comfort John and I put my arm on his shoulder and he said, "Don't you worry, Bishop." He said, "We'll be all right." This was from a priest. John was a priest at the time. He said, "Our grandpa's here." Well, it seemed to me today to hear his son now talk about him and then to remember his grandson saying, "It's all right. Grandpa's here." What a message and what a strength that is for me, just to now to go home today, and just to try to have that same spirit within me, that I can project what Brother Hall had with his family, his own boys and his own grandchildren. Everything seemed to be right. Everything seemed to be well, because Grandpa was right and well with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then as the years moved on, I would ask him, "Well, brother," and he moved, he'd go to Arizona and to Virginia, and we'd miss him, and I'd get little messages, and I've saved them. And I'd ask him, "Well, what are you doing with yourself these days?" And then when the Elder Center got their new building down there, he'd say, "I'm going down to dance, or I'm going to a movie." He'd say, and then seeing Sister Marion Hobson here, who was a member of the Fifth Ward for a while when the Hobsons lived in what is now the Pleasant Grove, Pleasant View Ward, and then they moved. But Sister Hobson was a good sister of our ward. And the family has asked me to pay tribute to you, Sister Hobson, and the joy and the comfort that you gave in your lovely, feminine, beautiful way. To these last months and last years of Brother Hall. Did you know that they enjoyed each other's companionship and dances and movies together? And as I said to Tracy, I hope when I'm that age that I can still be having this same kind of fun with a lovely lady. Well, I surely want to thank the Hall family for letting me express these few reminiscences and these few feelings that I have. Or Brother Howard. and to thank them for letting me speak, because it just reinforces in my mind again that when a man does follow the commandments of our Heavenly Father and strive every day of his life to put them into practice, that it does work. And what could be a better reward for a man than his sons and their families sitting together to mourn him and to pay him tribute? I think that's the greatest jewel in a man's crown, and I hope and pray this day that we can all pattern our lives after the kind of life that Brother Hall led. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Hosanna to his name. Amen.
I'm delighted today, brothers and sisters. I'm very happy for Brother Hall. I know how happy he is. Picture, if you will, for a moment with me, as though these doors right here opened, and as you sat here, you could see the Lord through the doorway. What would be your desire? Wouldn't you wish to go through the doorway and be with the Lord? And that was Brother Hall's desire. He could see just as clearly as though he were sitting here looking through that doorway. He could see what was waiting for him on the other side. And he could hardly wait. He wanted so much to go to that next life that we ought to be delighted, every one of us, that his wish has been fulfilled. He planned and became ready. His trust was just as complete as can be. He had no doubt in his mind what was waiting for him, a reunion with his sweet wife, an opportunity to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And at the risk of being repetitious, I just can't stand here and talk about Brother Hall without repeating what Brother Metten talked about. To hear Brother Hall pray was an experience. He literally talked with the Lord. You know, I became acquainted with Tracy some years ago, and he had a special something about him, and I wondered what it was that had caused this to come about in Tracy. The day I met his father, I knew why Tracy had that special something. I'll never forget the first day I met Brother Howard Hall. This little grin of his, those twinkling eyes, remember them? His slight frame, but erect and proud, and yet humble. Remember? What a dear man. And to hear him bear his testimony, to have Brother Hall in a fast and testimony meeting and rise and bear his testimony, just set the tone for the entire meeting. I remember one fast meeting, he wanted to bear his testimony, and the time had gone, and Brother Barnett was ready to close the meeting, and I happened to spy Brother Hall and stop Brother Barnett before he could close the meeting, and how pleased I was, because to hear Brother Hall bear his testimony was an occasion. All praise, honor, and glory be ascribed unto our Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ. Hosanna. Amen. I'll never forget hearing him bear witness. The little notes. I don't know how many people have received little notes from Brother Hall. How pleased I was frequently to get a letter from Brother Hall, to hear him express his love and devotion to the Lord, to write his thoughts. And I have some of his thoughts, and I can't think of anything more appropriate than to read to you some of his feelings. Brother Charles, as I was walking along the Rock Canyon Road on a beautiful October morning in the year 1966, I spied a ravine and commenced climbing to the top. The higher I climbed, the more I could see, and in the solitude of the ravine, I marveled. As I ascended to the top of the mountain, the infinite was before me, and I exclaimed, "Oh, the grandeur, the majesty, how sublime, the handiwork of God! He is not dead. To him be given honor, glory, praise, majesty, dominion, and power forever. Doesn't that sound like Brother Howard Hall? In the shade of the apricot tree, laying on a foam mattress in a reclining chair, a cool breeze gently blowing. There were no birds singing, but the buzzing, cheerful sounds of light planes and the clear blue sky overhead. There was beauty all around, and a feeling of peace and serenity in the world. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Let no descending voice of discord or error be found to mar the beauties of earthly charm. Aren't those beautiful words? You say this is just another day. This is the day to refresh the mind with that which is good. A day for deeds of valor. Blessings attend those who serve in the Lord's work, for they are the builders of His kingdom on the earth. We can be happy under all conditions and circumstances, depending upon our Heavenly Father's love, acknowledging His hand in all things, having faith, hope, charity, and love in our hearts, calling upon Him in humble prayer, morning, noon, and night, we can overcome all things. Plant seeds of righteousness. Water them with tears of gratitude. They will sprout and bloom in celestial glory. What a beautiful thought. Here's one that he sent to me and I treasure. All nature comes forth in springtime, attired in beautiful raiment, heralding the resurrection of the Son of God, coming forth in the splendor of celestial glory. The Father is the head of the home. The Mother is the heart of the home. And the children are the precious gems of the home, to be polished by the parents in the way of truth and righteousness, whose brilliance will shine for all to see. Just one more. 'Tis the sweetness of the soul. A smile to gladden the heart. Patience and long suffering in time of trial. Words of wisdom and songs of praise to enlighten the minds of men, that all things good, precious, and true come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Drink of the fountain of living water. Your soul will be refreshed. Your mind and body will be invigorated, and your labors will be enhanced sevenfold. You couldn't be in Brother Hall's presence without being better for the occasion. He spoke not only in these letters and notes about the kingdom of God, he spoke about this beautiful country we live in, and he was proud of our country. He had political views, and it was a joy to share his political views. On occasion, he wrote me letters saying, "President Peterson, I think the people of Sharon East Stake need to consider these issues, and then he would state some of the things that he felt needed attention. Respect of youth for their parents. Respect for our country. The divine nature of the Constitution. And renewed love for Jesus Christ. I'm proud, probably as proud as any other thing that's ever happened to me, to have received a phone call a few months ago and to be informed that Brother Howard Hall wanted me to be a speaker at his funeral. I'm honored that he would regard me as a person at this important event, that he would be willing to have represent him. And hence I felt I would like to represent him with some of his own words. But I would like to add just another thought or two, if I may. These are they who are valiant. Can you think of anyone more valiant to the cause than Brother Hall? These are they who do the works of our Father in heaven. Can you think of anyone who did the works of our Father in heaven more faithfully? He was a living example of the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. A man we're all proud to have known. And as we reflect at this moment on sweet memories that we have, personally, each of us, of Brother Hall, things that happened to us, times when we were with him and did things with him, ways in which he touched our life, each of us, I rejoice, as I'm sure you do, on this glorious occasion of his being enabled to fulfill his wish to be with his Father in heaven, to be with his Savior, Jesus Christ, to be with his sweet wife. I'm thrilled with you to know of a surety that that's where he is, and that once again he is doing the will of our Heavenly Father in a great new phase of his life and a great new work. Visualize, if you can, or if you will, what he may be doing today. What is the new work which he's been given to do? For a man of his caliber, I'm sure it's a great one. I pray that we may live worthy to join with him. And as we gain the kind of love and trust that he had in our Heavenly Father, we'll become as anxious as he to have this life finished and to have the opportunity to be there. I pray that we may so do, and I say it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this most exceptional funeral service, a service for a most exceptional man. And we pray that we may always remember the wonderful examples that Brother Hall left for us to follow. We are grateful for the light which shone forth from him, the light of righteousness which shone in his eyes and in his beautiful complexion, the light of truth that emanated from him in many ways. And we ask thy blessings upon him at this time and upon his dear wife in their reunion, and pray that he may continue to go forth and teach the truth that he has taught so well during his life here in mortality. And we ask our blessings upon his wonderful posterity that he has left behind at this time. Bless them that they'll follow in his footsteps of righteousness. We pray that as we now depart from this service, that we may travel in peace and safety, and that the travel to Ogden for the burial may be one of safety as well. We pray that we may always remember Brother Howard Hall, and for the many wonderful things that he left us as examples to follow. For these things we thank thee, and for these things we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're better. Some of you, I understand, were not able to be down in Provo for the service, the funeral service, which was a very lovely tribute to Howard Hall. We're here because we loved him. Driving up, it occurred to me that this wouldn't be a large gathering, but there wasn't a large gathering when Christ was buried either, was there? Just the ones that loved him, that felt real dear to him. And I think there's an appropriate comparison to be made. This man lived a Christ-like life. He was near to his Father in heaven. Now, his oldest son, Tracy, will dedicate the grave, and then these services will be concluded.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful unto thee for the life of our father, man who is also the progenitor of many who are here, or the relative of many who are here, friends and other loved ones. It's our wish at this time that we might all renew within ourselves our determination to live a better life. We know it is by this means that we can only truly honor him and return to him our true thankfulness for the rich heritage and blessings with which he has honored us. We have previously been at this hallowed spot to dedicate it for our mother and for Howard's wife. We at this time dedicate this spot also for the final resting place of the earthly remains of Howard Hall. We dedicate it that it may be free from turmoil and strife and the wickedness of the world, that it may be a hallowed spot to which we may return in thanks and appreciation for these our progenitors. Thy visits here will buoy us up in spirit and determination to keep thy commandments. We pray that this spot will not be molested or disturbed, and that it may be a spot of peace. And we so dedicate this grave by the power of the Melchizedek priesthood and in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.